Hey, church, it's great to see you. Thank you very much for being here today. We certainly are thankful for some who have not been able to be here that are able to be back. But we also know that we still have some that are still getting back from traveling as the school has been out this week and such. But I am glad to be able to be with you now as we open God's Word and we study it together and we challenge ourselves. Before I get into the lesson today, and you know, I don't necessarily believe in the ask for forgiveness before you instead of ask for permission or whatever, but I'm going to do it right now. Haley, she's going to be so mad at me. Your letter, arguably, but you'll lose the argument, people, that may be the best letter I've ever read aloud about the church in my life. And Haley has been on a mission trip to Jamaica, and I have not spoken to her, but I've read some of her words, and best week ever. And so we're proud of you, and thank you for doing God's work, and for who you are, and being a part of us. Living stones, right? That's who we're supposed to be. No matter where we are, whether we're in Sims, Alabama, which is our community, and the surrounding areas, or we are somewhere else in the United States, or we are overseas. God has called us to be living stones. That means if we're at church on Sunday, we're at work on Monday, school on Monday, in the grocery store, wherever we are, God has called us to be living stones. Now today, as you have heard read already, we're going to talk about what it means to abide in Christ. Why is it important for us to abide in Christ? Well, it's important for us to abide in Christ because we cannot be living stones if we're not connected to the cornerstone. We cannot be who God wants us to be if we do not abide in Christ. Now, let me say from the outset, and I'm going to do one of those, let you know about the invitation before we get to the invitation. So, it's important to note what abiding in Christ is. Abiding in Christ means that you are living in Christ. How do you live in Christ? Well, you've got to die to self. What does it mean to die to self? That means that you've got to give up the world. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to give up the lifestyle that causes us to be separated from God. We call that repentance, right? We repent of our sins. And so once we turn from our sins, we understand that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth to bleed, to suffer, to die, to be buried, to be resurrected, so that we can do the same. Die to self, be buried, be raised to walk in newness of life. You believe and you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the God that of the universe in the flesh. He was God in the flesh, and He is the Son of God. And so Jesus is the Christ, and we confess Him. And Jesus said, if you confess Me before others, I'll confess you before My Father. And when we do that, we still aren't there yet. We're still not living in Him. So that's why we go and we are immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, the water is water. It is nothing holy about it. But God uses it as a burial. And once we're completely under that water, we are immersed under that water. Just as Jesus went into that tomb, God contacts us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Once we're contacted with the blood of Jesus Christ, it's washing away everything we've ever done. My blood can't do that. Your blood can't do that. A blood of a goat can't do that. A blood of a lamb can't do that. It took Jesus Christ's blood. The only blood that is pure. The only blood that has never known sin. That blood is what God contacts us with. That blood that will continuously cleanse us from our sins if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Once we're contacted, once we're buried, once it's washed away, we're brought up, we're resurrected, if you will, to walk anew, to be a brand new person. It's then and only then, folks, that we abide in Christ. We live in Christ. He lives in us. And that's why it's so important to then be those living stones, to carry out the mission. I said some of this briefly Wednesday night if you were here. If a branch, you just walked up to a tree that was living and active and healthy, and you broke a little branch off, it'd probably be a little bit hard. Why? Because it's connected to that. It's green. It's feeding off of that tree. But once you take it and you do break it off and you throw it on the ground and you come back a few days later or a few weeks later, whatever it may be, you can pick that up, the branch that was once hard to break, once hard to rip off, and it's brittle. Why? Because it's been cut off from the tree and now it is dead. You see, without Jesus Christ, we wither, we dry up, we bear no fruit, and spiritually we are dead. In John 15, Jesus uses this same imagery to teach us about living in Him, abiding in Him. Again, as living stones, 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5, we are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. But without staying connected to Him, we will weaken spiritually. Why do people fall away from the church? You know, I guess if we were to survey that question, it would be a lot of different answers, right? You could probably put a lot of different answers there, but let me tell you what they all will fall under the umbrella of. The main reason people fall away from Jesus Christ is because they separate from the vine. They do not continue to feed their soul. They do not continue to feed from the vine of Jesus Christ. And the more I'm separated from Jesus, the deader and deader I'll be. You see, that's scary, right? That's dangerous. But there are people that have fallen away from Jesus Christ that are amongst our groups, that are in our discipleship groups, that are in our sections of the pew, that are in our families. That they may say, well, somebody offended me, or somebody didn't call me, or somebody didn't talk to me, or whatever. I would say to you that they did not continue to abide in Christ. That's why they're spiritually weak. The more we're away from Jesus, the weaker and weaker and weaker we will be. So let's talk about it today. I'm going to give you 3 points. What does it mean to abide in Christ? These are not my points. They're going to come straight from the text that Reagan read to us just a moment ago. First of all, turn to John 15 if you're not there. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Number 1, abiding in Christ means staying connected to the true vine. Abiding in Jesus Christ means we've got to stay connected. I mentioned that Wednesday night that I was going to talk about this today. It's about being connected. That's what our evangelism team is trying to do, by the way. They're trying to connect us. They're trying to connect us with people we may not talk to every day. People that we may not know. And you know, there are people that maybe are on this side that don't know people that are on this side. Maybe there are people that are here that don't know people that are here. And we could switch all that around, right? You might know who they are, but you might not know them. You might not have a relationship with them. And so what we're trying to do, number one, is strengthen our grip on faith, right? We're trying to draw near to God, strengthen that grip, but we're also here to try to know one another and connect. But the first being, the first person we've got to stay connected to is Jesus Christ. Listen to John 15, 1 through 4 again. I am, the words of Jesus now, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, that's us now. If we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're abiding in Christ, okay? Every branch, that's you, that's me, that does not bear fruit, He takes away. God's the vine dresser, He'll take it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You want to know where you are spiritually? You want to know a quick test, okay? Don't answer out loud, but I would ask you to ask yourself this. It's very simple. Am I producing godly fruit? That's it. That's it. That is the test. Am I producing godly fruit? Because here's what the Scriptures just said. If I abide in Him and He abide in me, what am I going to do? I'm going to bear much fruit. I'm going to bear a lot of fruit. But if I do not abide in Him and He does not abide in me, then God is going to take it away. We're going to be pulled out of the Lamb's Book of Life, right? And we're not going to bear fruit. We're going to talk more about what happens with that when we don't. But hear me out. Are you bearing godly fruit? It's a question you need to ask yourself. In other words, this. Do people want your spirituality? Right now, if you walked up to somebody, wouldn't it be scary if somebody said, you know what? I'm not going to Azalea City because Terry Cagle goes there. The way he talks, the way he acts, his attitude, he's negative, he's miserable. Now, I know I'm the preacher and I hope that doesn't happen. But you get the point, right? That should scare me to death. Do people want my fruit? Do people want Jesus Christ because of me? Do they want my spirituality or do they want to avoid me? Because I'm a miserable person. I got an ugly mouth. By the way, when it talks about, you know, not talking about bad communication or not talking in the way that God wants us to, it's not just profanity. However, it is profanity. It's negative speech. It's tearing down speech. It's all the above. Is that who I am? If the question is, people want my fruit, then I think you're probably on a good path. But if you're on the path that people do not want what you are selling, then folks, you need to examine yourselves. You need to make that right before it's too late. Again, Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. As branches of Jesus, that's who we are, right? We're branches of Jesus Christ. We are completely dependent on Him for life, for growth, and for fruitfulness. Think about that. Today, you and I are saying we are completely dependent on Jesus. If we're going to abide in Him, I need Him for life, I need Him for growth, I need Him for fruitfulness. I said this Wednesday night, but go home today and unplug your lamps. And then try to turn them on and see if they work. That is silly, I understand. You're like, obviously they won't work. A kid can understand that. But it's the same with us spiritually. Go home today and you unplug from Jesus Christ and you will not work spiritually. We got to plug into the power. Remember what Paul said in Romans 1:16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Plug into the power. Abiding means constantly dwelling in His Word. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth, and guess what? You know it. You can finish it. The truth will set you free. Am I abiding in Jesus? Am I in His Word? Today, if you're not in the Word of God, and listen, I think it becomes practical, and I've got to preach sermons that challenge us, right? That's what God has called me to do. How is your Bible study? We had a whole year of it. That was our theme. Just because the theme ends doesn't mean that the challenge doesn't end. How is your study of God's Word? Are you in the book? Are you in it daily? You see, folks, If I do not pick up the Scriptures and study them, then I am in danger of unplugging from Jesus Christ. And if I unplug from Jesus Christ, I'm going to wither up, I'm going to die, I'm going to be brittle, I'm going to be thrown in a fire later on. Abiding in Jesus, according to John 8, 31 and 32, means abiding in His Word. Also, it means that we need to prayerfully rely on Him every single day. What does 1 Thessalonians 5:17 teach us? Pray without stopping. Pray without ceasing. Don't ever quit praying. Today, if you are not praying to rely on God, why? We're missing out on that. Abiding in Him means also remaining connected to Him by obeying what He says, teachings, His teachings, and walking the way He walked. 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. Are you walking in the ways of Jesus? I remember my grandmother had the poem kind of in a frame of the footsteps of Jesus, or footprints of Jesus. You remember that poem? Walking in His footsteps, walking in His footprints. Are we doing that today? Where did Jesus walk? Well, He walked to worship. He walked to spend time with His Father. He walked to the poor, to those who were helpless, to those who were struggling. He walked to serve. Are we doing all that? By the way, if I'm doing one of them, I'm not doing any of them. If I'm doing two of them, I'm not doing any of them. I got to do it all. I got to be in His Word. I got to be in prayer. I got to be in His steps. If I do that, I'm abiding in Jesus, and I'm connected to the true vine. Number two, abiding in Christ, you know what it does? It produces spiritual fruit. Look at John 15, 5 through 8. I am the vine. You are the branches. He reminds us of that, right? Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. That ought to get our attention. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples. Again, in verse 5, He said, whoever abides in Me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. Not just a little bit, but a lot. You see, every now and again, it's nice, you know, for somebody to notice, you, hey, he did a good thing, I don't see him do many good things, and that probably stands out bright. But that's not what he's talking about. Like if you do a lot of bad things and then all of a sudden you do a good thing and they're like, wow, he did a good thing. That is amazing. You look at the fruit he's producing. No, that's a little bit of fruit. That's an occasional fruit. That's not good enough. He said, bears much fruit. That means you are producing fruit and producing fruit and producing fruit, and it's overflowing from your heart. It's the same mindset that Paul and Silas had when they were put in prison after Peter and John, after they were beaten, that they were going to be severely threatened. You remember what they said? They said, hey, you got to do what you got to do. If it's wrong in your sight for us to teach in the name of Jesus, do what you've got to do, but I cannot help it. I'm so full of Jesus, He's got to come out. That's the way it's got to be with us. We've got to be so full of Jesus, He must come out. Spiritual fruit is evidence of abiding in Christ. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you know it, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Am I producing that? Now, I love the fruits of the Spirit as we just said them, but you remember what he says there. It's a singular word. He says the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Am I producing godly love? You see, because if I produce love, okay, off of my tree falls the love fruit. Okay? Here's the beautiful thing about it. I can open up the love fruit. You know what's inside the love fruit? Wow, it's amazing. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All of those things are inside the love that I just produced from Jesus Christ. That is what he's talking about. I don't know anything about planting fruit trees or really planting anything. But an apple tree. I don't think you have to be just know-it-all to understand this. If it's not struggling to produce apples, like if that apple tree is having a good production of apples every single year, that means it's rooted in the right environment. When we abide in Christ, and we're in the right environment, and we're doing it the way he says, we too will be like that apple tree, and we will have great fruit produced all the time. I need to ask myself this, a couple questions here. Am I bearing fruit that reflects Christ's character? What's the character of Christ? The whole sermon lesson right there. You know who Jesus is. You know what his character is. You can see that through the Gospels laid out before us. Is that who I am? Is that who people see? Maybe another question would be, am I growing in love for God and for others? You see, in John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Final question I'd ask myself under this point is this. Am I serving, caring, and reflecting Jesus in my life every day? Point number three. Final point for the morning. Abiding in Christ, you know what it's going to do? It's going to lead to joy and strength. By the way, I didn't write any of these points. It's right here in the Scriptures. Jesus wrote them for us. Abiding in Christ leads to joy and strength. Look at verses 9 through 11. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you," do not miss this, "that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus assures us that abiding in him produces joy. There's a lot of war. Obviously, there are real wars that are going on. But there's a lot of war that's happening even in our own families, in our own communities, in our own jobs, in our own schools. War that is anything that is bringing conflict in my life, right? Satan, it's a spiritual war out there. It's not a war that we physically can go win. It's a spiritual war. And because of that spiritual war, there's going to be conflict every day. There's going to be a battle every day. Don't we need more joy? I mean, it will not take long. And listen, all the news is slanted. Okay? I mean, really, it is. And listen, I like some better than others too, okay? I like some channels better than others too. I'm not going to kid you. But let's face it, it's all about ratings. It's all about slanted. And somebody's going to tell, some of the ratings are tanking and they still do it. I don't understand that. That's a story for another day. But the point is this. You can turn the news on, whichever one you do turn on, and it will not take you long to be sad. It will not take you long to be down. Why? Because there's a lot of hurt going on. There's a lot of shock going on. There's a lot of evil going on. I do think it's getting better. I really do. I think our world around us is getting better. I think Christianity is getting a better voice than it's had. And I'm thankful to God for that, aren't you? But hear me out. If we take in depressing things all day long, it causes us to be unproductive for Jesus. So now, not only am I not bearing fruit, not only am I unplugged from the true vine, not only am I going to be a branch that's cut off and wither up and die, now I'm going to be thrown into a fire, but before it all, I don't have joy. You see, joy only comes from Jesus Christ. The world, it offers plenty of temporary happiness. Even sin is temporary happiness. We wouldn't do it if it wasn't, right? Even sin can bring temporary happiness. There are a lot of things that can bring temporary happiness. But true joy only comes from being rooted in Jesus Christ. I love Psalm 1. 1 through 3 is what was read to us earlier, but especially verse 3. He reminds us there that a tree planted by the water remains strong even in the drought. You see, when we abide in Christ, there are going to be trials. In fact, in John 16:33, you know it well, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's going to be trials. Some of you are walking through trials right now. Some of us are walking through valleys right now. But if I am a tree that is planted by the water, in other words, if I am a branch that is rooted in Christ, then I can stay strong even in the drought. We find strength through prayer. We find strength through studying of God's Word. We find strength through worship. But I also suggest to you, we find strength through the community of believers. The word community, again, one of those words that I think we've allowed to be taken from us. It's a great word. Because the early church, you know, we talk about being like the early church. You know what they were? They were a community. They looked out for each other. They were there for each other. They were there for each other's needs. You see, that's who I want us to be at Azalea City. I want us to be that type of neighborhood, that type of community, that type of people, that we are intertwined. We're connected to one another because we're all connected to the true vine. The Hebrew writer said, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I need you, and I think you need me. We need each other. That's part of joy. You know, you can relate to this, right? Maybe especially on a Wednesday night. It's been a long day at work. It's been a hard day. The devil's really tempting you. Hey, don't go. It's all right. Don't go. They got live stream now. Don't go. And listen, I am thankful we have that. But you understand, I like us being here. But you go anyhow. Every single time you'll leave there saying, "I am so thankful I went." You know why? Because when we connect to the vine and we connect to one another, it gives us strength. It's fuel for our tanks. It helps us keep going on because it stirred up love and good works. Joy is not based on circumstances, but on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Three key takeaways today. Stay connected to Christ through prayer, through His Word. Bear fruit that glorifies God. Find joy and strength in abiding in Him. It comes down to this question. Am I producing fruit? Am I producing fruit that others want? You might be producing fruit, but nobody wants it because it's rotten. It's disgusting. But if you're producing fruit that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ, keep on producing. 2 John 1, verse 9, whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. That's a powerful scripture. Are we abiding in His teachings? I told you what it means to abide in Christ at the beginning of this sermon. Have you done that? Do you need to change something? Do you need to get reconnected? Let's do it right now. It's together. We stand and sing.